ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Three Americans freed by China back on U.S. soil. Three Chinese prisoners released in the swap. One of the Americans had been held since 2022. He was accused of drug possession in China, but Beijing never provided any evidence of that and was arrested during a business trip. 2 million people expected to line the route for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in New York. Rain is expected, but that's not dampening the spirits, says ABC's Phil Tate.
There is just such an energy out here as many of these balloons, including a mini right there. She looks pretty excited to me as she'll be making her debut in just a short time. Many of these floats are also ready to go. I do have my umbrella up, folks. I do have the umbrella up just to make sure that we are dry, but the parade will go on no matter what. So much excitement out here.
And no credible threats detected in New York, but security is tight. Russia conducting a massive attack against Ukraine's energy infrastructure overnight, firing nearly 200 missiles and drones. This is ABC News. Back in the spotlight, the 1996 murder of six-year-old JonBenet Ramsey. She was found dead in the basement of her home in Colorado the day after Christmas. Boulder Police Chief Stephen Redfern is giving an annual update.
In the interest of transparency, I also think it's important for the community to know that our department has had ongoing conversations with JonBenet's family, the last of which occurred in mid-2024, and we are committed to continued open dialogue.
Earlier this month, JonBenet's father said they are asking police to do more with DNA technology to look for her killer. Police say any assertion that they are not pursuing leads is false. Former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez has asked a judge to toss the guilty verdicts that forced his resignation and grant a new trial on bribery charges. His lawyers say improper evidence was put in front of the jury. Amazon workers around the world are set to walk off in one of the busiest days in protest tomorrow. It's an annual effort to push for more pay. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut? Peas? Beets? All three, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers tonight in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Green Bay Packers and Miami Dolphins at Lambeau Field. The Dolphins are tough against the run, led by linebackers coach Joe Barry, the former defensive coordinator for the Packers, and Anthony Weaver, who played for the Ravens and now runs Miami's defense, Matt LaFleur.
Their defense is outstanding. I think they do a great job in multiple areas, whether it's defending the pass, It's really tough to get explosive plays on them. So I think Anthony Weaver and his staff, Joe B, obviously has been a big help, I'm sure, to him, and good scheme. So it's going to be quite the challenge.
NBA, the Bucks are back home Saturday night against the Wizards. Milwaukee now 9-9 after that horrible 1-6 start.
We all know that collectively we have to step up as a unit. Individually, you got to step up, and it's just time to be ready. So we know what the job is. It's still the same assignment. We're all pros here. We know what to do.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 33, with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Breezy with flurries tonight, low of 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. Saturday, partly cloudy, with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Dom and I have a very special pre-recorded Thanksgiving show for you. We're grateful. Come hear why.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Coming to you all the way from Duck Creek Pub in Hayward is a very special Veterans Day edition of Mino and the Mayor Thanksgiving Show, where the guys want to show their thanks and gratitude to those who have served both in the past and now. Recorded from Veterans Day 2023 and 2024 are stories and interviews from local area veterans. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Hello, Duck Creek VFW. How are we doing on Veterans Day? What a crowd. Fantastic. How's the SOS?
That is the stuff on a shingle, because it's a $10,000 fine if we say anything else.
Yeah, having Gino on, I'm bringing out my credit card right now. We've got my man Gino here, Vietnam vet, who has been here for every single morning breakfast during Veterans Day. Haven't you, Gino? And first of all, welcome. It's so good to see you again.
Thank you, brother. Good seeing you.
So, Gino, how many years do you think you've been coming down here to the Duck Creek VFW with your buddies?
Oh, man.
I shouldn't say buddies, with your brothers.
Yeah, my brothers, I would say 20 years.
Because your beard was like dark black.
Well,
then.
No.
Remember that?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Yeah,
yep.
Exactly. The stress of being on the show has turned it white.
Well, thank God for shoe polish.
Hey, Gene, I just want to talk a little bit about you. We always talk about experiences and things like that and what it was like when you guys came back. Just a little background. How did you end up in the Air Cav and then in Vietnam?
Well, what happened was how I ended up in the Army was all my brothers were, they were already in the Army. Got my draft notice. I was the last one. And my dad took me down to Nicolet Drive, and we were overlooking the bay. And he said, you know, son, that war in Vietnam is a bunch of BS. He shoved an envelope across to me with $1,000 in. And I looked at him, I said, Dad, what's $1,000 for? He goes, well, if you happen to go to Canada, I'll love you just as much in Canada as I do here. And I put the envelope back and I said, well, Dad, I think I watched one too many John Wayne movies, so I gotta go.
Was there any hesitation at all? Did you give
none,
it any?
None whatsoever. When I went in, I went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky for my basic training. From Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I went to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and I graduated out of helicopter training school with the highest academic award from that school. And then from there, I went to Vietnam, and I ended up doing three tours back-to-back, 1969, 1970, 1971.
What type of helicopters were you in, Gino?
We had Loaches, which was a light observation helicopter. We had the Hueys, and we had Cobra gunships. So that's kind of what they call the pink team, and that's what we ran most of the time. So I was in the 1st Aviation Brigade, and they did 12 million sorties in Vietnam altogether from the beginning to the end. We had a lot of commissioned officers flying Chinooks and the Hueys and the Cobras and so forth. But I was in a little Loach in the back seat, being able to fly over beautiful Vietnam and see all the countryside.
You guys were almost scouts in the air. Weren't you almost like advanced scouts in the air in some
ways? Yeah, that's what we were. We had a left front seat. We had an observer gunner. We hung a 60 there. We had a pilot on the right, and I was in a little back seat that probably couldn't stop a BB gun, but then I had all my stuff in the back, the smoke grenades and the Willie Peter, that's white phosphorus grenades, and all the stuff I needed. So it was 5 o'clock in the morning, full 500 until dark, usually every day.
Did you guys take fire, or were you guys too hard of a hard target for them to even hit?
No, we took fire, and we had many, many holes in our aircraft. And the funny part was we'd go in and we'd get a aircraft all patched up, and we'd always laugh because when we put it back on and take it out on the first flight, within 2 days, it would be shot full of holes again.
Your recall on that is like yesterday. And it's nice that you're freely talking about this. Did you have some struggles when you came back about sharing these? You know, was it always this easy?
When I came back, it was not very easy, and I had to go take my struggles, and it was arduous journey back. We used to say to get your soul back, so to speak, but it was always the PTSD. I ended up in North Chicago Hospital for a... That really helped me out a lot. I had a wonderful female doctor, Dr. Reddy, and she was great and really, really helped me.
And I think part of that is what we're doing here at DFW, right? Camaraderie, and you've been a leader in getting your brothers doing this. And you think that's all part of recovering or really getting back into society?
Well, I believe it is. Just to let you know, I ended up doing 20 years altogether. I did after I got out of Vietnam. Then I went into the Army Reserve and the National Guard and did 17 years in there, so paid my time. But all the while, it was the fellowship with my brother, fellow veterans. And when I got home from Nam, we were at Fort McCoy, and the neat thing was I was with a group of guys that were all Vietnam vet returnees. So we were like the craziest guys at Fort McCoy. And there's many, many stories still alive back there.
I'm sure your dad was a wonderful person, but he kind of read you wrong in that not only did you go to Vietnam, you went for 20 years to serve the country. God bless you for that.
Thank you.
Did he give you the $1,000 anyway?
No.
Gino, what are some of the things that you did when you came back? And I know you've been very instrumental behind the scenes in helping numerous Vietnam vets very quietly, very behind the scenes, no publicity. What was the passion for you in doing that?
I think that the passion for doing it was there was a wonderful man. He was in Green Bay, and he was a fellow that I was sent to into the program. I got into a group of Vietnam veterans, and we met every 2 weeks, and that was really good for us to talk about coming back home and, you know, getting our head on straight, and that helped me tremendously. But North Chicago really, I think, did the most help.
Gino, I was with a gentleman yesterday, an Iraq-Afghanistan vet, and he had some issues when he came back, and we were talking at a school addressing this. He said, when you're over there, you're so hyper-vigilant all the time. You never really let your guard down ever. And then all of a sudden, you go from that to normal life over here, but you're still wired. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think that being wired is kind of in my DNA, but... you know, we always call it staying with the program and whatever. So always being around Vietnam vets and always helping them whenever I could, and having some wonderful, wonderful close friends, Marines, Navy guys, Army guys, it really didn't matter. We're all in one brotherhood. We're all in one fellowship. To me, a veteran is a veteran. It doesn't matter what he did, what he didn't do. Everybody had a job to do. Everybody did the job. And as far as I know, we all love this country. We pray for this country, and we hope that this country can return to what it was formerly.
Wow.
Outstanding. Gino, it's always a pleasure to see you, my friend. And I can't wait to talk to you when I write my next book. You're a featured performer in there. Is that okay? Yeah.
You got it, brother.
You got it, my man.
You're an inspiration.
Yep.
Thank you, Gino.
You're the best,
Thank
Gino.
You, brother.
Thank you so much. My man, Gino, here. We're at the Duck Creek VFW. Where are my man, Mike? Uh-oh, the Wolfman made an appearance. The Wolfman Jack is in the house. Look at this. This is a special occasion.
Right.
Wolfman, you got to come up here real quick. Hey, don't make me come over there and drag you up here physically. I could do it if I had 12, 13 other guys, just so you know. Got Mike Allen joining us right here. Mike was in a unit that, go ahead.
Second of the 501st Airborne Air Mobile Vietnam. Company got there, the battalion, 1967. They shipped back out in 1972. But we were up in I Corps, Ashaw Valley, Ripcord area, all the fire bases in that area. There's probably about 40 fire bases that we worked around. Once we were out there, we were out there.
I mean, you guys were out there for weeks at a time, right?
Yeah, we were out for weeks, probably 2 months.
Wow. And they would drop you in some supplies?
We get supplies every 3 days if they had the helicopters available. It all depends on what kind of crap our sister battalion or sister companies were involved in. You get a three-day log, you get your water, just kick it out, and we pick it all up and pack our rucks and then move on back out. I carried 9 quarts of water, so I carried roughly 130 pounds of munitions and food.
And how much did you weigh at the time?
I weighed 130. So I carried my own weight up and down the mountains.
Okay. You know what? I got a kick out of Mike in the pictures. Mike has fantastic pictures. Looks like pictures you'd take 10 years ago to get them developed and everything. Yep. And here they are out in the thickest jungle, Viet Cong all around them, North Vietnamese all around them. They're trying to find the Viet Cong. Viet Cong are trying to find them.
Yep.
And it's like, Mike, you guys are sitting right in the middle of the jungle. What are you doing? He's like, oh, we're playing cards.
Yeah, we're playing spades. So you had a little downtime, you'd play spades.
Wow.
Tell us one story. They got ambushed one time, and your good buddy getting shot in the head.
Okay. Yeah, you're on this knoll, and we were there, and we were running out of chow, except for me. I always kept extra crap. Typhoon had hit, so we were socked in, and we were on this knoll. There was a river and stuff like that. A lot of the guys were seeing the NVA. Rolling around, getting water, and coming back up from the streams. It was socked in, and the typhoon was just starting to kind of lift. And we had to move off of that little knoll. So we were point element, 3rd platoon. I was in 3rd squad. I was assistant 60 gunner. Rudy, he was humping point. Evers was slack, and then me and Big Man with the 60. And took our time getting off because we were pretty freaked out with all the NVA around, so guys were out of chow, so we had to move, get to the nearest fire base. And the NVA were there. They could have took any one of us out at any time, but they always seemed to get a little greedy. So we were far enough apart when we humped off. The end element started to bunch up because Rudy was humping point. He was getting pretty nervous. We had slowed down, and they bunched up, and the NVA opened up on the rear element. I believe they wounded 3 people. And lucky for them and us that clouds were starting to break from the typhoon where they could get that medevac in and get those guys out. But during that time, we were receiving artillery fire from the nearest fire bases. The guys in the rear fired back, but they didn't get any NVA. So after about an hour and a half, 2 hours, we rucked up and we started to move out real slow. We didn't go about maybe 30 meters, and the NVA opened up on us from the front. Rudy was down on the ground screaming and hollering, don't let him kill me, don't let him kill me. He's hollering, Evers is down, Evers is down, Evers, he had got shot. And so Big Man and I are hollering and screaming at Rudy to stay down until we opened up with the 60 over him and fired up the area and fired around. I had kind of seen as we started to move, I knew nobody was where I was, up on the side of a little bit of a hill. I seen this twig pop up out of the mud. And as soon as that had popped up, I knew we were going to get hit, and we got hit. So Evers is down on the ground bleeding, and he's saying to me, he says, Alan, get my stuff. So he had his stuff in his Connex can, little ammo can that you keep your personals in. What he was asking me to get was take the weed out of the can.
So the officers wouldn't get it, right?
Yeah. So we had done that, and we broke down his rucksack and stuff, and we carried his stuff. They had taken him up in the basket on the helicopter, so we were down again. More artillery was coming, and the guys were running up from the rear to the front in order to fire support for us. They put Evers in the basket. He was shot in the head, and on the way up, he gave us the peace sign. So we knew he was going to be all right, even though he was shot in the head.
Awesome.
That's a great story.
Alan, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. That was a good story.
Yeah, stick around.
All right, thank
we
got to
set a real quick break for the Duck Creek VFW. Back right after this.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SavedByThiscan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
Hey, welcome back. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Mino the Mayor here at the Duck Creek VFW, celebrating what we have to be thankful for, which in this room, I think every single person here would have all sorts of things to be thankful for.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, one of the things to be thankful for is a person that really has their back compared to years ago when they first came back. And that man's name in Brown County is Joe Olick, Veteran Services in Brown County.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, John. Glad to be here and glad to be sharing Veterans Day at my fellow veterans.
I'll tell you what, Joe, these guys, when we talk about some of these stories that, you know, they had the post-traumatic stress. I don't know if it was even diagnosed as that at times. And I talked to an Iraq vet yesterday. You know, he tried to self-medicate when he came back with alcohol and different things. And the organizations that you guys have formed and the open door policy that you have,
right,
it's a whole different world versus what it was 40 or 50 years ago, isn't it?
Right, yeah. The county veteran service officers are 72 in the state of Wisconsin. There's 13 tribal veteran service officers. We're fellow veterans. We're here to advocate and fight for those benefits for our fellow veterans, and I've been doing it for 25 years. I'm the longest-serving veterans officer in the state of Wisconsin.
That's outstanding.
And, Joe, it's progressing. I mean, you've done over 25 years. You've seen a lot of programs that maybe they were looking for that you went and fought for, and now they're available.
They've evolved, yep.
Right, exactly. Post-traumatic stress wasn't recognized till the 90s, but now, of course, it's really recognized. And in August of 22, they passed the PACT Act, and that opened the door for the burn pit exposure in Iraq and Afghanistan. It opened the countries of Thailand, Guam, and Cambodia for Agent Orange exposure. So if you're a veteran and you're listening to this and you haven't applied or looked into your benefits, you have to do that. And a lot of veterans, I was just talking to a veteran, he's like, other veterans need it more than I do. No, you need it, and your family needs it, because this will change the trajectory of your life.
Right. And Joe, I want to get the point across that if they've applied and will refuse, that you should apply again, because things have changed.
Right. It's always good to, you know, stop in. If you applied a long time ago and you were denied, we've gotten better at what we do.
Right. That's right.
We've gotten smarter. We figured out how to crack that case in the VA. So it's always good to check in once a year. Give the office a call, 920-448-4450. We'll check those benefits. You don't have to come down. We do 90% of our stuff right over the phone.
Right.
Get in your leisure chair. Call us. We'll file that claim.
Joe, I was talking to a Vietnam vet the other day, and I asked him about Agent Orange if he thinks. He says, no, the only thing I ever came down with afterwards was diabetes, and I'm sure it's because of my diet. And I said, no, get this checked.
Right. There's 55 conditions connected to Agent Orange exposure. Diabetes, prostate cancer, hypothyroidism, bladder cancer, you name it. It's probably on the list. And also, again, back to the burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan. There's 32 cancers now connected with that. Camp Lejeune, the toxic water, nine conditions with that. So, you know, don't think that you know your benefits. Well over 50% of veterans are unaware of these benefits. Don't try to navigate it yourself.
Right.
This is a specialized field. Again, I've been doing it for a long time.
And don't read something from a year ago and assume that's the gospel.
Exactly. Right. And don't listen to your fellow veteran in the local in the local VFW. You gotta, if you want to know, you call Joe.
Well, and I want to underscore what you said about that 50% of the people are unaware. And, you know, how do you get aware? I mean, you're out here. I see you, and Johnny does a great job of getting out.
You got to make that phone call. You got to call your county veteran service office. You got to have a conversation and just review it, right? That's
right.
How you become aware. You know, I was just talking to another veteran. He said, I'm not going to file that claim. Hey, when in doubt, you file the claim.
Right.
When in doubt, you file the claim.
Worst that could happen, they deny it, but
they
you got to try
right,
it.
Yep. Right, but we do about 80% of our claims we appeal, so we got about a 75% success rate.
So the upside benefits, mortgages, education, there's a lot of that out there as well.
Right. You know, especially if you end up with that 100%, we call that the red carpet, right? You get your property tax refunded, free health care for the family and the kids. You get federal education for college, no tuition, because then in the state of Wisconsin, every veteran in this room has 128 free credits at UW colleges and tech schools. Every veteran. Wow. You get that 100%, now your kids have that, right? If you get over 30%, your kids have that. So, you know, the benefits are there, and this is so complicated and technical. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Give us a call.
And you know, another thing though too, I know recruitment is down through most of the branches, and somebody said, wow, they get a lot of benefits. But it's like, when I was growing up, the draft, I mean, my three brothers of mine were going to get drafted if they didn't enlist, and that was the big thing. And they talked about an all-volunteer military. It's like, well, that'll never happen. There'll never get enough people.
Right.
So with these benefits,
exactly,
that's been the inducement and the incentive for a lot of these people.
Right.
And they are improving as we go. So people still need to check those out, don't they, Joe?
Yeah. And, you know, it's a great incentive to serve. It's kind of why I served, you know, the education and just the world travel. You know, I lived 4.5 years in Alaska, best assignment I ever had. And so, you know, there's a lot of good things to the military, the discipline. It comes with you the rest of your life, so it's real positive.
And Joe, to get in contact with you, call that number. If the veteran is hesitant, you'll take the call from the spouse or the daughter or the son?
Yes. Oh, yes. We have daughters and sons. They call us, right? The kids call us. Hey, you know, my father is suffering from this. What do you think? And we have that conversation, and then that kind of opens the door for us to call, you know, mom or dad, right? We got female veterans. And when they realize we're a fellow veteran, we're not the federal VA, okay? That's one thing you got to remember. We're not the federal government. And we're county government, right? And we're fellow veterans. And we've been there. We've been through the process, right? So we can guide you through that. It's going to be easy and simple for you. Right?
And you know what? Just want to make this statement. Guys and women, I want to make sure women know that too.
Right.
It's okay to ask for a helping hand or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, that's a good one, John. You know, as veterans, we're taught to be independent, right? Not ask for that helping hand, right, in the service. Well, that doesn't serve us very well in the civilian world. And we need that support network, that camaraderie. We had a group of men and women around us. They had our six. We get out. We're just kind of floating around here. And that's where we see the crisis 5, 10, 15 years post-discharge is when they really start to struggle. But when they find our office, they see that support network. It's like the Veterans Treatment Court, which is a good segment you
did,
right? So that Veterans Treatment Court, we circle around, we get that team around that veteran, help her unravel those things, 75, 80% success rate.
Outstanding. Joe, what you guys do is so vital to our veterans and their lifetime. They're pretty well taken care of once they raise their hand and say, I'm ready, willing, and able to serve.
Right.
And when they say thank you for your service, and you walk out the door, that's where you guys step in and take
it from
there.
We're saying thank you every day.
Right.
We're filing about 6 claims a day in the office. We have just the veterans in Brown County have a $400 million economic impact in Brown County alone.
That's incredible.
How do they get in touch with you?
So the state website, www.wicvso.org. That's all 72 of us and 13 tribes for Brown County. Even if you call my office and you need to figure out how to go to your office, 920-448-4450. I've helped with people across the nation. If you want to know, you call Joe, right?
Beautiful.
So
that's going to be our motto. You want to know, call Joe.
So give me a call. And I've talked to people in California and Florida and Texas and directed them and got them hooked up with their CVSO. Changed their life forever.
Thanks for doing
beautiful.
That, Joe.
Joe
God bless
Alec, Veteran Service Office, Brown County. You do a remarkable job.
John.
Appreciate working with you on so many different endeavors. Yeah. Let's keep it going, okay,
amen,
buddy?
Amen.
Yeah. That was great.
Joe Alec, join us. We'll be back with more right after this.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin congressman has some harsh criticism for the U.S. Department of Agriculture and their handling of the Pure Prairie Processing bankruptcy. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Let me refresh your memory in case you don't recall that story. Pure Prairie Processing, a Minnesota-based poultry processing facility, filed bankruptcy and essentially closed its doors, leaving producers of the birds in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin in the lurch, responsible for live birds that no longer had a market, and they were no longer getting funds to feed or take care of those birds. Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden says USDA flat out dropped the ball.
The USDA has completely blown off Congress. It is absolutely inexcusable that they do this. So I am a member of Congress. I'm a member of the co-equal branch of government. And the USDA is responsible for giving about $50 million to a company that had failed several times before. They failed one more time, and we had about 3.5 million birds that were hanging out there in the lurch, of which the ones in Iowa and Minnesota were euthanized. And fortunately, our farmers were able to distribute the birds, their flocks, to folks. So it is completely unacceptable.
That's Wisconsin Congressman Darren Van Orden. He says he is going to continue to investigate what should have been done to protect producers from the Pure Prairie Processing bankruptcy. And he said, as far as USDA Ag Secretary Vilsack leaving, he said, good riddance.
Farming is full of up and downs, but with the right tools, you can navigate any cycle. Join Compeer Financial's Grain Vantage webinar on December 4th from 9 to noon. Hear from ag industry pros like me, Rob Sharkey, during this free virtual event. Leave with real-world strategies to help you manage risk and explore opportunities in today's market. Visit compeer.com/grainvantage to sign up. The Grain Vantage webinar, helping you take control of your farm's financial future.
No one should have to navigate herd health alone. Luckily, you don't have to. A successful operation requires teamwork. Visit bio-vet.com and let us help identify key challenges and offer expert solutions unique to your situation. We evaluate your full herd health plan and make economical recommendations to your operation. Learn more about our team and products for herd health at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And let's hope that our deer hunters have more success over the Thanksgiving break. The Wisconsin DNR said we've harvested about 89,203 deer as of opening weekend. That's down about 2% compared to last year, down about 5% compared to our five-year average. 49,038 antler deer harvested, 40,165 antlerless deer taken as of the weekend. I'm Pam Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 33, with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Breezy with flurries tonight, low of 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. Saturday, partly cloudy, with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
Keep the elements out of your home with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We had howling wind coming through. The rooms were freezing. We were very apprehensive about changing them because we were worried about losing the charm of the home. We went with Pella because we knew that they had an amazing reputation. We knew that they were going to have the windows that would look like they've been there forever, but with all the functionality that a window should have.
Order from Pella today and get no interest and no payments for 12 months. Visit PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. Ends 11/30/2024.
Hi, I'm Michael Friedman, CEO of Simple Life Hospitality. Let us take the hassle out of vacation rental property management. We'll maximize your earnings and handle every detail from cleaning to maintenance and repairs. For guests, enjoy a stay that feels like home with hand-selected properties, personal touches like local recommendations, and extras like concierge service that will make your trip unforgettable. Whether you're a homeowner or a traveler, experience the Simple Life. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to a special pre-recorded Thanksgiving Day episode for you from the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thanksgiving!
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Mino the Mayor here at the Duck Creek VFW, celebrating Veterans Day, celebrating everything we have to be thankful for. Ronnie Umentum is joining myself right now, and the Mayor. Ronnie is part of my 50 Strong book, and he also hosted one of the great events. Jim, you and I have been at, what, thousands of events and different things?
Oh, yeah.
Thousands. And I can honestly say the event we held at Ron's house a couple of years ago is one of the most memorable events I've ever been at, not just for me, but for all the people there. He hosted a party for all the people in my book, 50 Strong. It was World War II, it was Korea, and it was Vietnam. And you want to talk about three different eras getting together in a setting they've really probably have never really been in before, and they all meshed. Ronnie, wasn't that an amazing afternoon?
It was one of the best days I had, and thank you, John, for putting that together. It brought all Vietnam, Korea, and World War II vets together. We had three World War II vets there. And one of the things they argued about, who was the oldest.
Yes. I think 98 won out.
Wow. And 98 won out, and I remember one of the vets leaving, World War II vets leaving. He had such a good time, he actually had a tear in his eye when he left. He said he had never attended an event like this.
It was so great for all you guys to mesh. Long lost brothers.
You know, Ronnie, we talk about the sacrifices you've made, and we've heard and read, of course, in Johnny's book, some horrific stories, but that camaraderie just really seems to not make up for it, but man, that's an important thing to you guys. And to host that with a different wars together, that must have really been a special vibe in that room.
That was very special.
Vibe is the best word.
That's for sure. And that was a very great event that John had put together.
But you hosted the whole thing.
You
put it all together.
We understand how it's John's idea, but you paid
Absolutely.
For it. So let's just cut to the chase.
John has ideas. Other people do the work. Almost exactly like he was mayor.
We did have a lot of good refreshments that day.
Yes,
so it really loosened the tongue.
But you guys would never have done that 10 years after Vietnam. How long did it take you to tell people you'd been in Vietnam?
It took me 12 and a half years before I told anybody. When I went to the wall in Washington, D.C. for the dedication, that's when I finally became a proud Vietnam veteran.
That's awesome. That's great. You know, we're just really sorry that you went through that.
Yeah.
But I think, don't you think we're trying to do better? The country's doing better?
Oh, yes. It's doing much better than when I came home. And I remember one time I think the first week I was home, my mother wanted to go to church with me, and she said, "Will you wear your uniform?" I could not put that uniform back on because I was afraid I was going to be harassed.
Ugh.
And I remember coming back. We landed in California, and we had to go to San Francisco to fly out. I was with three other guys. We all went to the bathroom together. Three guys tore their uniforms off and threw them in the garbage. I wore mine because I had to get on a plane again. Of course, we were on military standby. We couldn't even fly. We had to wait for an open spot on a plane. And three guys got on the plane with no uniform because they didn't want to be recognized. I refused to take mine off.
Good for you.
So when I did get home, I did take it off and would not put it on again because I was afraid I was going to be harassed.
So what that 11 and a half years that you went through, what brought you to where you're here? You're sharing your story. You're in schools. You're
helping others.
Helping others.
I guess being a veteran, that's what we're all about. Take a look around here today.
Right.
These people, each and one of them, have their own stories. They have their stories about volunteering and helping. That's who we are. We didn't just stand there and take that oath that day. We took that oath for life.
Right. Some people came back from Vietnam and there are certain things they missed. Did you ever want to eat rat again?
No.
Tell that story.
Okay.
Breakfast is over, so go ahead. Tell the story.
Yeah. That's what's in the sausage today. Did you know that? They did that special for you.
I know. I had the tail end of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
We were going through this village, and a friend of mine, Mike, said, you have to try these sandwiches. He says, they're really good. So as we're walking through the village, Sherry, we see Mama-san on the side of the village road, and she was making these sandwiches. She said, you have to try these. So she sliced this bread, like a French bread,
right.
And you look at it, because they always put bugs in their bread. They didn't waste anything, and they put that in there for protein. So I could live with that. And then she put these little strips of meat on there, and it almost looked like beef, but a little shorter. And she put some lettuce on there, and then with some hot sauce. And she gave me the sandwich, and I took a bite, and I said, oh, Mama-san, number one sandwich. And she and I was saying it was really good, and she couldn't understand me. And the Vietnamese lady behind me makes a squeaky noise. She goes, she goes, same, and then she was a rat sandwich. That was my last bite.
I was going to say that.
Love that.
But Mike did eat his and mine.
Oh, my goodness. You had some amazing experiences that we documented, of course, in the book 50 Strong. One of my favorite ones, though, is when you volunteered for a mission with the Navy SEALs. Very hazardous mission, but this is how bad you guys wanted a good meal. They said they would give you a Navy breakfast if you went on this unbelievably hazardous mission. He's like, and I get a breakfast, a real breakfast? They're like, yep, I'm in, right?
Wow. Never got that breakfast.
You didn't get the breakfast?
No, all that the Navy owes you.
But what was that like sitting out there on that island that night and you saw those Viet Cong moving towards you?
Well, there were nine of us. And we didn't know what our mission was until we got on the boats with the SEALs. And they said that they were supposed to hit a battalion, which is about 450. There were nine of us. I didn't know the other eight guys from Abelahe. And we set up the ambush. And about 12 o'clock in the morning, or 12 o'clock, the sergeant came and said, hey, we've been on missions all day and we're tired. We're only going to keep two guys awake at a time. I want you to start. And they put me right in the trail. The trail was just like a cow path, you know what those look like, because it was heavily used. So I pulled my guard. I put my camouflage blanket over my head. I woke the guy up next to me, and just to make sure that he was awake, and I asked him where his grenades, where his claymores were, so I laid back and I covered my head up with this camouflage blanket, and I think I was under about 10, maybe 10 minutes. You can fall asleep pretty quick when you're tired. I immediately woke up because I had mosquitoes trapped under the blanket. So I sat up. As I sat up, I saw them coming maybe 50 feet away. There were four of them.
And the guy that was supposed to be at guard duty?
Was sleeping. And I had no chance. They were couldn't throw a grenade, couldn't blow the claymores. And what you don't want to do at night, you don't want to use your weapon because of the flash. You give away your position.
Right.
But anyway, we got out of that thanks to the SEALs coming off the river, because we had two river boats. We had our two batteries of artillery were already pre-zeroed in. We had the jets on standby. They were flying over. We finally got onto the boat, and before John had said that we were promised a breakfast. Well, the breakfast the Army wasn't getting wasn't like what the Navy was getting. We were actually going to get bacon and eggs.
Oh.
So we got on the boat. Well, they didn't take us home right away. They tried to insert us behind the battalion. And we didn't last very long there. And we had to get back to the river, and they said, hold your ground till morning. Because they forgot where they dropped us off. We couldn't call our artillery. We didn't know our position.
And stranded.
So we got back to the river, got in the water with only our heads sticking out. They picked us up in the morning. I got on the boat, and I'm thinking, good, finally we can get that breakfast.
Right.
Well, be damned, we headed down the river. They turned around, brought us back to the Army base. So every Navy guy out there, just remember one thing, you owe me a breakfast.
Boy, do you. Boy, do they.
But doesn't that signify as far as how desperate you are for the little things that
right.
we could go on, and Mom would make me bacon and eggs and pancakes, yeah. whatever, every day of my life, and these guys would go on a death-defying mission
right.
for a good breakfast. I mean, the basic essentials of life. Hey, Ronnie?
The other message in that story, though, Johnny, is just how they took orders. Because you and I would have been like, we ain't turning this boat around.
No.
we're getting breakfast. But you just, you did what they said, and you're on a mission. You guys listened well, and just served this country unbelievably well. And Johnny really knows this stuff. I'm hearing these stories as I spend more time with him. And just God bless you. And I'm so glad you look like life is good to you now.
Well, it's been pretty good. I've been lucky.
But we have to talk about this, too, because we had Chuck Wellens on a radio show yesterday or the day before. Yesterday, wasn't it? Or the day before. Whatever. And we were talking about how he was on a hill overlooking Quezon in late December of 1967. And he was on guard duty in the bunker because he was the new guy, so he got the worst shift. And he was just amazed. He found Armed Forces radio, and they had the ice bowl on. And he talked about how amazing that was. And he went to Premontre High School, right there with you guys. And listening to the ice bowl in this godforsaken place was just such a small joy. And
it was a large joy.
It was a large joy. Yeah, not a small joy. It was a large joy. But the funny part is, the ironic part is, when we were sitting there at Ron's party, and Chuck's telling this story, and Ron goes, I can show you where I was during the Ice Bowl. And he takes out this classic picture of when the Packer fans are tearing down the goalposts, and Ron's on top of the goalpost tearing it down. And a year later, he was in Vietnam. Is that the truth?
That is the truth. And Kenny Vanhoel said he heard the same thing. And you went around and asked where everybody was. Most of them were at Quezon or at Contien.
Contien, yep.
But I was on that goalpost.
It's amazing what a difference a year can make, right?
What a difference the temperature was at that time.
Ron, when you look back at how great the camaraderie is now with you guys, you might see each other once or twice a year, but, man, you guys just revert back to that brotherhood, don't you?
Well, we sure do. And, in fact, I do get together with my platoon yet every other year, and we got in touch with each other. It was 43 years after we were out of Vietnam. We started getting together, and we have a reunion every other year.
Isn't that great?
I have to ask one more story, though. Everybody thinks that when you're in war together, everybody's peace, love, and brotherhood. Talk about the difference between the Yankees and the Southerners and a situation you had that you just could not believe in regard to the Civil War.
I had a gentleman who was in my squad. I was a squad leader, and we were talking about the Civil War. We were talking about the North and South Vietnam. If we left, who would win?
Sure.
And I said, well, I think the North would win because now they've depended so much on us that they don't have the will to fight. So then he turned the tables on me and he said, well, what would happen if we had a war back in the United States? Of course, I took the position, hey, I'm from the North. We would win.
Right.
We've got the population. We've got the industry. And I think we would win. Well, he got so angry. He pulled his M16, locked and loaded, and he had death in his eyes. But it wasn't his.
It was still the Civil War.
It was still the Civil War.
Yeah.
My platoon sergeant got the weapon away. We went outside, had a few blows, and he went down. And I asked him, he had to be removed from my squad because I couldn't work with him anymore.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
He may need a little counseling.
unfortunately, he didn't make it back.
Yeah, but he was like trouble, right?
Right.
Some guys. Didn't you have another guy from the South didn't know how to tie his boots?
He had. It was called one of the McNamara morons. they were drafted because the government didn't want to upset the people going to college. So what they did is they drafted these people who couldn't even shoot. They were lied to about their target shooting. Some of them couldn't even tie their shoes, and we had one of them. First name was Danny, and he couldn't. He'd be walking out. His rucksack would be like he'd be walking like was that Bernie? Bernie, or he was dead and he was walking.
Oh yeah.
Weekend at Bernie's,
yeah.
And he, I walk up to him. I says. Danny, pull your rucksack up. You're going to get tired. You're dragging it. And then he'd drink all his water. He would, and finally I said, we went out one night on an ambush. I said, can you set up your claymores? I'm going to go check on the rest of the guys. Well, in the morning I went out and see how his claymores were set up. And he had them facing up in the air.
Wow.
So I had him removed from my squad, and he became what a,
You found a perfect job for him.
Found a perfect job for him, and he did. He was a crap burner.
And he loved it, right?
I tell you what, he probably was the smartest guy in the platoon.
He was the best crap burner in Vietnam. Ron, you meant to
That's
thank
funny.
You so much for being here, buddy. Thank you for all you do for your brothers.
Yeah.
And thank
You're
you.
You're awesome, Ron.
Thanks for great
God
service.
Bless you.
Mino and the Mayor, the Decorate BMW. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Duck Creek VFW, the annual Veterans Day breakfast, which is so phenomenal, and talking about Thanksgiving and all the things we have to be thankful for, and we're with Ken. Ken, how you doing? It's good to see you here.
Good. Very good.
You know, we were talking about something, first of all, about, because you were in Vietnam, obviously,
yep.
And, you know, people could talk about Vietnam and the trials and tribulations, but it didn't end when they got back, and it's a quiet story almost as far as what happened with some of the vets once they came back in the early days. Could you expound on that a little bit, Ken? Because you know it from a personal level.
All right, yeah, a good friend of mine from high school, he was back, and I think he's working at one of the paper mills, and wasn't back 6 months, and he was on 29, and he committed suicide. And just so many people like that. And I know we used to go to Jamaica for a winter vacation, and Negril, Jamaica is a community of all Vietnam veterans that tent out there. This was back in the 90s, and just a tent city of all people from Vietnam that were living there. Yes, so a lot of them there, they go up in the mountains, they go away and hide. I was very fortunate when I was there. I went over as a jungle expert, Panama, 4th Infantry, and I got to stay in a camp and worked on the psychological part of it more than the other. But I seen the guys come into our camp that were in the fields, and they come in looking like dogs. It's just unbearable. Good friend of mine was shot up in a foxhole, and but yeah, the after stories of it, people that just are not the same.
Ken, I think, and we're working on that a little bit today, right? The camaraderie that is being experienced here, and it just there's a true brotherhood. Here, I think you're doubly blessed. So you hail from a pretty good family.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, there was only 12 of us. So.
It was so you had some support, huh?
Yeah, and my oldest brother was in the National Guard. My next brother had trichny. My next brother had asthma. Then there was a sister. Then it was me. I went in. Then the brothers after that were in National Guard. The war was pretty much over. So I was the lucky one to go.
But they supported you. I mean, I think you and then the community, you're giving back now. I mean, you're here today. You've had a great career here in Green Bay. Do you think we're doing the right things here to get people to feel good about the service they gave to this country?
Yes. Yes, I was very appreciative. For 2 years now, I went to Lineville School. I got three grandchildren there now, and they have a big ceremony for you every year. And each veteran gets up to speak and say where they were, and I was here, and I fought for my grandchildren. And very emotional. There's probably 100 veterans there. And,
I got to tell you something, Ken, if I jump in. That is so – what you just said, when you mentioned grandkids, I've got several Vietnam vets who didn't talk. Their kids would ask them to come and speak to classes. They wouldn't do it. They're like, nobody wants here. But when the grandkids ask, it was like a whole different thing. It's like, well, I can't let down my grandkids. And that really helped these guys because these kids would pay so close attention and ask such poignant questions. That really helped many grandkids help Vietnam vets come out of that shell, didn't they, Ken?
Yes. Yes, they did. And I've got 10 of them. Oh. And they're all so I got calls and texts all day long. And, I just feel so appreciative. So much more is happening to veterans now than back then. I went back and took a job that I had working at Channel 2 because I was guaranteed my job back. So I bought a new car with my $3,000 from the service benefit.
How much was the car and what was it?
$3,000, a 70 Chevy Camaro.
Nice.
That's good for you.
If you still have that, that's worth more than $3,000.
Right. It rusted out.
Okay.
Anyway, at the car museum, they have a bunch of Camaros there at this time. You know how they change it out? Go down.
Yeah, go just, pick
just,
one out.
Just
go
tell you, I'll pick one out. Johnny will take care of it.
He's selling mine on the Marison.
He's selling a lot of books today.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Okay. Yeah.
So you came back. You did that. You got your job back.
And I worked a couple months, and it was slow in the wintertime. And we always have the telethon.
Yeah.
That's the exciting part. Little story about the telethon. It's not really veteran-related, but I had a put a camera and I had to put a microphone on Cheryl. Oh, what's her name? She used to have the puppets. Cheryl with the puppets, whatever.
With the eyes?
Real pretty girl.
I'll get to that. Go ahead. Tell your story. I will.
Anyway, I had to put the lavalier around her neck for the microphone and it dropped down between. She had the puppets in her hand. And what are you going to do? You got to get it out, Ken. So I had to go in there and get it out, whatever. So I was kind of embarrassing.
Were you married at the time, Ken?
No.
Okay. So would you have told that story when you went home?
I don't know. It was on TV. No,
you might not have 10 grandkids right now if you did.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken, what were some of the reasons? You were in the psychological aspect of it. What are some of the main causes that they had problems?
I think just being away from home, the idea of not knowing what's going to happen the next day, the next minute, and you just come back as a different person, because I was so proud to come back to America after being over there. You couldn't drink the water. There's just a lot of things that you couldn't do over there. But it was just psychologically on these people that just to see somebody get killed, it had to just been devastating.
And such a young age that those kids experienced that. I don't think people realize how young you were when you were there. You're what, 19, 20?
19. And that's the age to go. I've got a nephew that's in the service right now. He's got 6 more years. He was spent a year in Iraq a couple years ago. He's 40-some years old. He might have to go back again. But it's so tough for him now at 40-some years old. When I was 18, I was ready to go and conquer the world. That's a great time to go. I wish somebody said he had a draft back. I wish they did.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's awesome. Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd. Yeah.
That's the Muppet lady.
Cheryl Ladd. Yeah.
You got that personal with Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd. I mean, that's. Well, I want to see.
You know, Ken, I hold you in a little high esteem. I was. From the moment you walked up here. Wow.
It was strictly work.
Hang on, Ken.
Yeah, this is all work.
I'm going to give you that bow. I'm not worthy.
It's all work.
Ken, thank you so much for your service in Vietnam and everything you've done for our veterans.
You're welcome.
Say hi to your mayor, Veterans Day, Duck Creek, back after this.
Say hi to your great family, too.
Don't go anywhere. The guys will be right back in just a little bit on a very special Thanksgiving edition of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Matt Rothschild is going to be sitting in the big chair to break down all the news with analysis and humor. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Get the family out of the house this holiday season and book a private event with us at Heights Pub and Parlor, located at 217 North Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. We provide an unmatched atmosphere where you can soak in the modern elegance of history. With seating for 32 and space for up to 100 guests, let our second floor parlor and third story loft treat you to top-notch service from a personal bartender and hand-picked food selections from our kitchen. 2024 dates are booking out fast, so secure yours now. Like and follow us on Facebook or check us out at heightsgb.com to discover more.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.